I have a theory. The world's favorite foreign food is Italian. We love those tastes. We go to Italy primed for great eating. It's part and parcel of the culture. The art and architecture aren't so bad either. Now, few people bring together an understanding of Italy's foods, its mentalities, and its culture. Fred Plotkin does this in his classic guide, Italy for the Gourmet Traveler, which has just been updated. Fred, welcome back.
Thank you, Lynn. You're so kind.
You know, you do something in your book I have not seen in other books, and I love it. It's called Classic Towns. And it's these classic towns are not the ones you would expect. It's not Rome and Florence and that kind of thing. Why don't you explain what a classic town is?
Well, actually, Rome is one of them, but you're right in the point you're making. I identified for each of the 21 regions I describe a town that gathers within its walls much of what is typical about that region. So rather than have you go to, let's say, Bologna. Well, Bologna is a classic town, too. Rather than have you go to Genoa or Portofino or the Cinque Terre in Liguria, I send you to San Remo because San Remo is really much more typically Ligurian, whatever that means. And therefore, a visitor who wants to discover a region and uses my book will find what makes these regions typical food-wise, culturally, scenically, in terms of the temperament of the people. And when we travel nowadays, we don't have extra time. So therefore, I want you to get right to the essence of a place.
What I like about this idea is the places you've generally chosen are places that let you really drop into Italian life.
Yeah, because people want, for me at least, the real Italy. They don't want touristic prepackaged Italy.
So can you give us an example of one or two?
Well, let's go to Sicily right away. Syracuse is one of the great towns of Italy, period. And because it's tucked in the lower right-hand corner of the island, this triangle-shaped island, a lot of people don't get there. They get as far as Taormina, which is very beautiful, but has been a tourist resort since Roman times. And rather, I have them go further to a place that has incredible Greek ruins and temples. It has fabulous food, the best tuna, the best swordfish, a wonderful market, a wonderful passeggiata, the stroll in the afternoon, and it's close to some of the best ice cream you'll ever taste.
And as I remember, the light is like nothing you've ever seen. I mean, it's true. The town glows.
Well, it glows in part because the marble that they use to build the town is a sort of ochre-colored marble, so when the sunlight hits it in the afternoon, that's why everything glows.
Quite amazing. And this is Sicily, and this would be the east coast of Sicily.
Yes.
Where would we eat in Syracuse? I know. You have to pick one of your... Who's your favorite kid? Yeah, exactly.
Well, there's a little spit of land called Ortigia. And Ortigia is the original ancient community. And there are several restaurants there facing the harbor. One of them is called Archimede, like Archimedes, who is from there. Trattoria Archimede, you eat very well. But there are about 10 places in my book on Ortigia that you eat equally well.
And what the kinds of things that you do eat there?
Swordfish, tuna, pasta, eggplant, mussels, fabulous fruit, almond granita, coffee, beautiful breads, everything with olive oil, pasta with breadcrumbs, sardines, heaven.
Oh, boy.
And healthy.
All right. Where else? Another classic town.
Well, in the region of the Marche, which is in the center of the country, I call it Eastern Tuscany. It's actually the Tuscany less touristed. And it has a coastline on the Adriatic, wonderful fish, 76 gorgeous historic opera houses in one little region. For people who love shoes, a lot of the fanciest Italian shoes are made there. There's Urbino, which I call the classic town. It's where Raphael was from. Nearby are cheese caves where Michelangelo stored his pecorino cheese. And so that's the classic town, and Urbino is wonderful. But I would also send you to the town of Macerata. Macerata is now the place when people who have never been to Italy call me up and say, Fred, we want to go to a place where we will discover as much as we can of Italy in one town. I send them there. It's a medieval town. It has a university. It's a hill town. It's surrounded by gorgeous green nature, rolling hills. The lamb from the nearby town of Viso is amazing. The pork products are amazing. They have a lasagna only there called Vinces Grassi, which does not mean victory of the fat, but it was named for an Austrian general who occupied the place in 1796, whose name was Windischgratz. And Windischgratz became Vinces Grassi. It's heaven. They have a fantastic summer opera festival in the Sveti Stadio, which is an outdoor handball arena that has perfect acoustics. Everything you'd want from Italy in one town.
How big a town is this?
There are about 30,000 people, and you can easily negotiate up and down the hills. It also has a beautiful city hall, a gorgeous Duomo, a university, an art museum, everything you want. Okay. It's Italy in one little place.
You know what's coming next. Where should we go to eat the Vinces Grassi?
There are a couple of places I like there. One of them is called San Secondo, and that's where people typically go for Vinces Grassi. But my favorite little place, which will now be bombarded with all of your listeners, Lynn, is Trattoria Rosa, like the rose. And they also do something else there, scrambled eggs with truffles, not just for breakfast, but any time of the day. And it, too, is just a phenomenal dish. The wines are very local, just a white and a red. But these two places, what's interesting about it is that the hotel scene is just, there's just one hotel, the Claudiani. It's not been really developed for tourism, and that's part of its charm. It's very local. The Rosa has a few rooms. There are rooms outside of town. But really, it's unspoiled.
Sounds like heaven. It really does.
It is.
Fred, you're in and out of Italy constantly. What changes are you seeing?
I just came back last week from a visit to Turin and Milan. The main thing, certainly in big cities like Turin and Milan, but all over the country, is that Italy has not given up, but it's had to abandon some of its traditions in terms of pausing for long lunch, in terms of meals that have multi-courses. This is due in part to the economy, but it's due more to the fact that Italy is now on the world 24-hour clock. And if you wake up and you have clients in China and Japan, and you have to deal with them, then you have European clients and you have North American clients. If you're in any kind of business that deals with people abroad, you have to keep to those hours. Banks, office workers in big cities often remain open all the time. And therefore, you go out for what they call a pausa pranzo, a pause for lunch. It used to be you went out for lunch. So now at lunch, rather than have several courses, you might have one big course, such as in Milan or Turin, a risotto. And it'll be a delicious risotto, and it will be a bigger portion than you got in the past. And that would be your monopasto, your singular meal. And with that, you might have one glass of wine. A big change in Italy now is wine by the glass. And the wine is fabulous, actually. It's better than ever. And that's another point, that if you're going to drink less, you want to drink really well.
Fred, thank you so much.
Ciao, Lynn.
Fred Plotkin is author of the newly revised Italy for the Gourmet Traveler. Fred lays claim to the pesto recipe to end all pesto recipes. Don't even question this. Find his Pesto alla Genovese on the website splendidtable.org.